And Sister Jackie has the children. It's so great to have the Richards back. And I'll just save everything I'm going to say for later, but it's good to have them back. And we got a new addition to the POPC. And I love her name, Elizabeth Miriam Richardson. I love the middle name Miriam because I've always liked Miriam as far as biblical characters of women. Because there's a passage where she writes the song. She's singing the song of worship in the book of Exodus. Exodus, I think it's 15, somewhere right in there. And Scripture says that Miriam went over and grabbed a timbrel. I don't say what the men were doing. We have no clue what they were up to. But she incited worship in the camp. And so, at any rate, she's precious. I looked at her when I saw her first at the hospital, and she looked at me, and I knew I loved her, and she knew I was the greatest pastor she'd have in her life instantly like that. So, you know, it was just right, just like that. So, but we love this family. I looked out there, and I saw somebody with a temporary tag on the back of their vehicle. I didn't know who the vehicle belonged to. I said, POPC, the POPC blessing is showing up. And you better get ready. That's what we call it, the POPC blessing. It liable to hit you next. And that is, of course, Desmond and Shanice. So, but they just look so happy. And you can't, if you're happy, man, you got it made. You really do. But God is good. I'm glad Brother Harper's here to help me out this morning. He's going to come preach to us. Amen. Amen. We love you, Brother Harper.
Come on, let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise this morning. If my message strikes you as being targeted towards you, then take it that way. I didn't come with any one certain person on my mind to preach this to but myself, Brother Wilson. Yeah, I want to direct your attention to a familiar portion of Scripture this morning, Acts chapter 2 and verse 1. I will say this, that nothing that we do, nothing that we see in a service or any song that we sing about can be done without the Holy Ghost. And that's what I'm going to preach on today is the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 2 and verse 1 says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were with all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them clothed in tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there dwelling at Jerusalem, Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. And now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded." Brother Brown, it really binds my gears to think that every man was doing anything they wanted to, but when the Holy Ghost showed up, I said when the Holy Ghost began to be poured out for the very first time, it grabbed their attention. This wasn't speaking of the ones in the upper room. This was talking about the devout men who were gathered there for a reason. Not for the infilling of the Holy Ghost, but for their own personal reasons. So just let me say this. If you've come to church this morning with your own agenda, the Lord will find you wherever you may be need of this morning. If you need the Holy Ghost is here for you. If you need a miracle in your body, there is a miracle in the building. If you need to be set free from oppression, anxiety, or depression, that deliverance is in the building. I'm getting ahead of myself. I apologize.
And were confounded because that every man heard them speak in his own language, and they were amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein when we were born? Parthians and Medes and Amalekites and dwellers in Mesopotamia and Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia and Phrygia and Pamphylia and Egypt and in parts of Libya about Cyrene and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes. Luke writes that no man was left untouched on the day of Pentecost. He says, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God, and they were amazed, yet they were in doubt, saying one to another, What meaneth this? In Acts chapter 2, and scrolling down to verse 37, says, And now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you. Everybody say me. And to our children, say my children. And to all those that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. This morning, for the next little while, I want to preach to you on this thought, the power of Pentecost. The power of Pentecost. If you'll lay your Bibles down and stretch your hands toward heaven. Father, we need a fresh outpouring of the Holy Ghost today. Lord, we need your power to reign supreme in this place today. God, I pray, Lord, that you would touch the hearer, God. Lord, that you would touch my mind and my mouth, God. Lord, as I become the oracle of heaven this morning, God, I pray that the anointing would flow in the name of Jesus. Lord, let your will be done. And everybody say amen. 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 You can be seated. There are only a few times in a person's life that stands out from the rest of their life. When you go to a graveyard, there is two dates on any tombstone. The day you were born and the day that you died, Brother Brown. And in between those two dates is a little hash mark. And that's what I'm talking about today. There are only a few times in your life that really stand out from the rest of what happens to you. Maybe it's the day that you married your husband or your wife. Perhaps it was the birth of your children. Maybe it was a promotion at a job, or maybe it was a health crisis or the loss of a loved one. But the greatest and most memorable day that any man, woman, boy, or girl could ever have is the day that Jesus washed your sins away and filled you with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I can remember October the 2nd of 2024 when the lab results came in, and it scared me into a lifestyle change. It scared me so much that I went to the gym that afternoon on my lunch break and signed up for a gym membership. That's scary for me. It's been a while since I had been at a gym, but there was something that happened that day that put me into a place that said, I need a change. I can remember November the 17th of 2007 when I said my wedding vows, or December the 9th, or June the 8th, or December the 2nd when I held each and every one of my children in my arms. But Brother Brown, the day that I remember the most, it was a Wednesday night Bible study on July the 12th, 1997. Reverend Alan Crabtree was teaching a Bible study on end time prophecy, but something got a hold of a 12-year-old boy, and I went to an altar, and there I sought the Lord, and He was faithful, and He washed my sins away, and He filled me with the Holy Ghost. There have been some good days, I must admit. And there's been some sad days, I will agree. But when I look back over my life, there's never been a day quite like the day when the power of Pentecost came and changed me. Every time I get in the Spirit, and the Spirit begins to move, there's a refreshing of that Pentecostal power, because it's the power to change. It's the power to heal. It's the power to deliver. And it's the power to save. I've come to tell you, there is a real power in Pentecost. And I'll say this as well, there are sounds that are so distinctive in our lives that when we hear them, it is unmistakable. Like the sound when your parents call you by your first and middle name. I've heard it. Sends chills. Oh, Landon, you agree with me, don't you, buddy? Because there's a distinctive sound of authority when that happens. Or the sound of your kid crying when they're in trouble or have hurt themselves. Every parent knows what I'm talking about. That cry for help or that cry for hurt is different than the cry of a brother or a sister not giving them what they want. It is a distinct sound. There are sounds in your life that flood memories throughout your mind. I've come to tell someone that the distinct sound of Pentecost has not changed in 2,000 years. There is still a distinct sound and an appropriate response to the gospel. Pastor already said it. This is the gospel. Jesus came and He put our sins on a cross and He died and He rose on the third day. But that's not the end. The Bible says that when the day of Pentecost was fully come, there dwelt men, devout men, and the Holy Ghost began to fall and they spake with tongues as the Spirit gave the ability. When the power of Pentecost is on display, it is still the sound of a rushing mighty wind. Jesus healed people. Jesus raised the dead. Jesus fed the hungry. But in John 14 and 12, this is Jesus. And He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on Me, the works that I shall do, he shall do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to My Father. Let me tell you, you can leave this world without an arm, without a liver, without a kidney. Let me tell you, and when you reach the streets of gold, the Bible says that in that moment we will know Him as He is, and we shall put on incorruption and immortality, and we will be like Him. The greater work is not a miracle. The greater work is not a healing. The greater work is not a financial blessing. But the greater work that any man, any woman, boy, or child could ever partake of, Brother Brown, is the infilling of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. I've come to tell somebody today, there's power in Pentecost. What He was saying in John was that you haven't seen anything yet. Oh, I know you watched Peter walk on water. And I was there when you watched Me bless the 2 loaves and 5 fishes. But you haven't seen anything yet until I am glorified. Because when I'm glorified, that's when the real power will be on display. Because when the Holy Ghost starts to be poured out, it's going to cause radical change. Men and women who were once dead in sin are made alive through the resurrecting power of Jesus. Ephesians 2 and 1 says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in sins and trespasses and sins, wherein times you walk past according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversations in times past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath." Well, what is Paul saying? Paul's saying you used to walk according to this course of this world, and you used to do what you want to do. But because you've been made alive in Christ Jesus through the infilling of the Holy Ghost, you no longer have to worry about the sin man, because the sin man has been buried. The greater work is not your miracle. The greater work is not your healing. The greater work is not a job promotion or a new car. But the greater work is the infilling of the Holy Ghost. I'm getting some resistance, but that's okay. The greater work was on display, and it will always be on display in the infilling of the Holy Ghost. The Bible says it is a quickening spirit. What's a quickening spirit? 1 Corinthians 15 and 45. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. Our first Adam has a soul. We are a soul. We are a spirit and a soul. And the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Let me tell you that when you are born again of water and of spirit, there is a quickening agent in the power of Pentecost that allows you to identify with the second Adam. Oh yes, we all identify with the first Adam. We all have sins and failures and deficiencies and vices. But this morning, I no longer have to identify with the first Adam because of the quickening spirit of the Holy Ghost. 1 Peter 3 and 18, "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit." Romans 8 and 11, "But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you," you need to catch that, "if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you." Well, what does that mean, Brother Harper? That means you need the Holy Ghost. That means that nobody who ever identifies with the first Adam is exempt from needing the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Well, and this is the question I hear all the time. Do I have to have the Holy Ghost? My question is, if God has something more for you, then why wouldn't you want the Holy Ghost? For every good and perfect gift comes from above. Oh, we can go down the road of dogma and preach hellfire and brimstone, but the power of Pentecost, this is the truth, allows for generational curses to be broken. It causes the captive to be set free. It causes the brokenhearted to be healed. It allows for the restoration of your fallen humanity. But most importantly, it allows for your eternal soul to be saved from eternal damnation. So my question to those who ask, do I have to have the Holy Ghost? My question to you is, why don't you want the Holy Ghost? Why don't you want a life-changing power to be active in your life? What is it that keeps you from receiving this power of Pentecost? Is it tradition? Probably. One of the hardest hurdles that we have to jump to be biblically sound is tradition. Well, mama didn't believe it like this. Grandpa didn't preach it like this. I'm sorry, your mama and your grandfather might be wrong, and I say that with all sensitivity, but my mission today, my call from God is to make sure that you know and rightly divide the word. So maybe it is tradition. Or maybe it's something else. Maybe it's a question of, is this really real? Brother Brown, I know it's real. Brother Thomas, I know it's real. Brother Banks, I know it's real. I know this Pentecostal power is real. How do I know? Because I've experienced it firsthand. And once you've already tasted and seen that the Lord, He is good, there's nobody else that can tell you, no, that's not real. Because I remember the night when I was baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost. It's never changed. It's never ceased to be powerful. But there are some things that I do know. I know in and of my own flesh there is nothing good. I know that I cannot save myself. I know that I cannot save my family members. I know I can't save my children as much as I wish I could. There is nothing that I can do to save them from eternity. But what I can do is let the power of Pentecost be displayed on and in my life. I know that if I allow God to have control over my life, then the bar set is low. The bar set is low for others. Because if He'll do it for me, if He'll do it for me, He has to do it for somebody else. Because I know the kind of person that I am. I know what I deal with. I know the struggles and the failures that I make. And if He'll do it for me, He'll do it for you. Because I know this about God. He is no respecter of persons. If He will baptize Paul in His Spirit, and He'll baptize Jonathan in His Spirit, I've come to tell you He'll baptize you in His Spirit. He'll do it for anybody. So what is the power behind Pentecost? Oh, some say it's emotionalism. Others say it's a bunch of nonsense. I was told this morning that even one Christian said that the power of Pentecost is of the devil. Huh. Well, you can't cast out Beelzebub by Beelzebub. And I promise you, anything that I got comes from the Lord, because I'm not opening myself up to nothing demonic. But the power behind Pentecost comes straight from God. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 says, "And you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." Say what you want, but I'm not calling anything from God nonsense or emotionalism. Yeah, I may get wrapped up in my emotions, but you don't understand what He did for me when He filled me with the Holy Ghost. He saved me from a lifetime of abandonment. He saved me from a lifetime of disappointment of myself and to others. You don't know what I know, what He's done for me. You don't know the sins that He put under the blood that I committed. I've come to tell you that through the power of Pentecost, there is hope for you. I'm calling it a gift because that's what the Bible calls it. And I'm going to stand in line to get it. And let me tell you, and if the Holy Ghost is moving on this side of the church, you just might see me bebop over on this side because I want what's going on over here. But if it's happening back here on the fourth and the fifth row, you might find me back here, Brother Brown, because whatever God's giving out, I want. I've come to ask you today, why don't you want the Holy Ghost? The world will stand in line to see an attraction or to hear this person speak or to hear this person sing. They'll even stand in line for hours to purchase the latest gadget or be a part of the biggest sale of the year. You don't believe me? The day after Thanksgiving, if you're crazy enough, go to these stores. They line up hours before the sun even rises. You ain't got no business being up before the sun comes up, unless you're working. That's crazy. But we'll do it. We'll stand in line to get a new iPhone. We'll stand in line to be the first person to get whatever it is they're giving away. But when it comes to the things of God, we can come up with the very best excuses. Why? Why do we come up with excuses? Because the power behind Pentecost isn't just an emotion. It's not just another trend. It's not just another social media influencer pushing whatever it is that they're peddling. But it's the power of God working on the heart and the life of somebody that God has already drawn to Himself. The reason we will make excuse is because it contains the power of real change. It requires us to say, it's not enough just to be a good person. It makes us realize that we are far, far from perfect. We will spend hundreds of thousands of dollars and countless hours in self-help meetings. But to be really changed, it's going to take more than human ability. There's more to it than just a slogan of the power of positive change. I hate that. Or just good old elbow grease. But the Word says, not by might, nor by power. Let me stop right there. That's talking about human power. Not by my might, not by my power, but by the Spirit, saith the Lord. The difference between an AA meeting, an NA meeting, after going through their programs and being faithful 5, 10, 25 years, you still have to stand up in their meetings. And you have to introduce yourself. Hi, my name's Bob, and I'm an alcoholic. Whew. Hi, my name's Jane, and I'm a drug user. It's crazy that after all those years of change, you still have to identify with the sin and the bondage that you've been working so hard to get out of. But when the power of the Holy Ghost quickens your spirit, it breaks every yoke of sin. And it can, if you will, allow it to take the taste of alcohol, drugs, and a promiscuous lifestyle out of your heart. Let me tell you, Brother Brown, I've never had to stand up in church and say, you know what? I was a liar. I was a cheat. I was a drunk. I was an abuser. But the day that God filled me with the Holy Ghost, that first man, Adam, was dead. And I likened myself to the second man, Adam, who quickened me. Let me tell you, I've never heard in a testimony service, they say, I'm still a drug addict. I'm still a prostitute. No, what they say is, on this day, this time, God filled me with the Holy Ghost. And what I used to be, I'm no longer. Because what I used to be has been buried. Go to the AA meetings and the NA meetings all that you want to, but it doesn't cause real change. The only real change is that power behind Pentecost. Never in my life have I heard a little old lady stand up in a testimony service and say, you know what, I've been living for the Lord faithful for 50 years, but I'm still a cheater. I've never heard a man give his life to Christ and be changed by the power of Pentecost and still identify with the thing that God saved him from. Let me tell you, Paul never once addressed his own sin in his writings, because he knew that way, it used to be the way he identified, but on the road to Damascus, there was a quickening spirit that came upon Paul, and it made him look himself in the face and say, you know what? I'm nothing but a Pharisee. All I do is check off boxes. I have no real relationship with God. But there was a man in the next town that preached Jesus to him. There was a man in the next town that would baptize him in the name of Jesus. And God would fill him with the Holy Ghost. I've come to tell you, you no longer have to identify with the sin that binds you. You never, no longer have to identify with anxiety or fear or depression. If you have the Holy Ghost, it's not just God giving us the ability to live an overcoming life. Yes, He does that. But that's like the cherry on the cake, or strawberries, or blueberries, or whatever you want on your cake, or your ice cream. But this power behind Pentecost forces our humanity to look deep within ourselves and say, I am sinful. I am a lost cause on my own. I really need a Savior. Jesus, save me. Because here's this. If we ever lose the power of Pentecost, we will lose our identity in Christ. The flesh likes to think that it can change itself. But in reality, all you can do is rebrand yourself. Well, what's rebranding? I see companies do it all the time. They rebrand themselves. They change their name. They change their moniker. They change their logo. But Brother Jose, at the end of the day, guess what? They still offer poor customer service. They don't live up to what they promise. And they're the same old, same old. All they did was just change their outer skin. Let me come to tell you, the power of Pentecost just doesn't change your outer skin, but it changes the inward man also. That's where real holiness starts at, is on the inside. So rebrand yourself all you want. But if you want a life-changing experience, you're going to have to go to the man that can really produce change. It likes to think, your flesh likes to think it can do it all on its own power. Men, I believe this is why it's so hard for us to surrender to God. It's because, well, first of all, most of us are thick-headed. And we like to fix things on our own, and we don't like to ask for help. Can I tell you that is called pride? Pride. And that's something that you're going to have to crucify if you ever plan on being really, really changed. But this morning, I've come to give this flesh a fight. And preach, oh, preach with everything that's within me. You just don't need the Holy Ghost. You got to have the Holy Ghost. If there's ever going to be a chance at real change in your life, if there's ever going to be real peace, if there's ever going to be a real cause for celebration in your life, then you're going to need the power of Pentecost. You're going to need the infilling power of God's Spirit in your life if you ever plan to make it out of this evil world. If you ever plan on making heaven your home, listen to me this morning, you need the Holy Ghost. Pentecost is not just a marketing scheme. It's not just a moniker that this church or other churches use. But Pentecost is for those who are looking for something that's outside of this world to help in this present world and will get them out of this world into the next world. As Peter said, this is that. He told them on the day of Pentecost, this is that. Everything that we've been looking for, everything that we have been waiting and been patiently waiting for, this is that. This is the fulfilling of the old covenant. This is why the Messiah was brought to us. This is why He must ascend to the Father. This is that. Joel prophesied about the power of Pentecost, and David prayed for the power of Pentecost, but it was upon the prophets of old, but it was never in the prophets. From Genesis to John point to Pentecost, and everything from Romans to Revelations points back to Pentecost. Musicians, I'm closing. You can come. If there was no Pentecost, if there was no outpouring of the Holy Ghost, Pastor, we should pack it up and go home. Because without real change, we are doomed to die and go to a devil's hell. Without the power of Pentecost, there is no real ability to change our status in the next life to come. Well, does Pentecost really happen today? How does it happen today? The same way it happened in Acts. The same way it happened in 1997. What year did you get the Holy Ghost? 99. Brother Brown, what year did you get the Holy Ghost? It's been that long. 95. Sis, when did you get the Holy Ghost? 98. Mom, when did you get the Holy Ghost? Let me tell you, it has never changed. The way that the power of Pentecost is still poured out still happens like it happened in the book of Acts. The same way it did in 75, the same way it did in 95, the same way it did in 97. The death and burial of a man. Jesus said it like this in John 3:5. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Listen, you ain't even got worrying about seeing it if you can't even go into it. Brother Harper, this ain't a healing message. Yeah, it is. This ain't a miracle message. Yeah, it is. This ain't a message of hope. Yeah, it is. This ain't a message of restoration. Yeah, it is. Because let me tell you, whatever you have need of today, it's no greater than your need of salvation in the name of Jesus. Because this is your healing. This is your miracle. This is your restoration. This is your hope. This is the only message wrapped up in a pretty bow that contains all of it. Miracles, healings, restoration, salvation. It's all in Pentecost. So if you'll stand. Well, how do I get the Holy Ghost? Whew, I'm glad you asked. Repentance. That's not a very deep theological word. Repentance, it's just more than a confession, but it's a godly sorrow for being a sinner. It's a declaration that you desire not to be out of covenant relationship with the Creator of your universe and to do your best to be holy unto God. Let me tell you, without the Holy Ghost, you can't be holy. Without the Holy Ghost, you can't be sanctified. You can't be anything. But you can make a declaration in your repentance that, God, I want to be holy. And I want to be separate. But I'm going to need your help. And I don't want to be a sinner no more. Can you help me? Can you wash me in your blood? Can you take all my faults and all my failures and all my vices and everything that has me bound? Can you put it under your shed blood? That's repentance. I know we can't be holy before God without His help, but we can purpose in our heart that we are purposed not to live in outright sin any longer. Let me tell you, that's also putting your faith into action. The second part. Because it's not just about a confession or a declaration, but it's about activating faith through obedience. Baptism in Jesus' name. Listen, there's a lot of preachers that will tell you it doesn't matter how you are baptized. I've come to tell you this morning that it does matter. Because Acts 4 and 12 says, neither is there salvation in any other name. Because there's only one name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. That's why they fight against Jesus' name prayer. That's why they fight against us declaring that we are children of the Most High God. That's why they declare war on Jesus' name Christians. Because at the name of Jesus, not just every knee will bow and every tongue confess, but at the name of Jesus, lives are transformed. At the name of Jesus, sins are remitted. At the name of Jesus, homes are restored. I don't care what the Council of Nicaea did. I don't care what church fathers or church history say. There's only one saving name. There's only one formula and only one mode of baptism. And that is baptism, full immersion in the name of Jesus for the remitting of sins. You can't remit your sins any other way. No title, no other declaration will remit your sins. The name of Jesus is the quickening name. It's the obedience of Scripture or faith that when you apply it, the blood of Calvary blots out all of your sins, past, present, and future. This water, there's nothing special about it, Brother Brown. I ran it this morning. It come out of the tap that Brother Dempsey and Brother Carver help. It runs through a water heater back there. It doesn't flow from any special fountain. There's nothing special about the water. But I've come to tell you there is something about the name of Jesus. It has the ability to save. It has the ability to heal. But more importantly, it has the ability to remit your sins. There's more to baptism than just a public profession of faith. It's not just an outward sign of an inward cleansing. But there's something supernatural going on underneath the surface tension of that water. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, the Bible says, he that calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, how do you call upon the name of the Lord? Pastor, the only way that I can find in the Bible is that when we call upon the name of the Lord is in water baptism. So therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things are new. Well, can I have a Pentecostal experience? Yes, you can. It's for whosoever will. These altars are open. All you have to do is repent of your sins and be baptized in Jesus' name. And God will fill you with the Holy Ghost. These altars are open. Whosoever will, let him come.
When you Because when you